it's a pleasure now here at SLB to welcome Mike Perry back. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, Larry.
Look at that. I can hear you. You're there.
How about that?
Congratulations. If you wish to take this as a great accomplishment, but you're the first person to speak in a guest microphone in our newly remodeled studio.
I'm honored, Larry. And there's a story there.
Yes, there somewhere there's a story. There's a story to Mike Perry too. Tell me about yourself.
Well, I've been involved in the storytelling community here in Pittsburgh for quite a while, and every year it kind of ramps up. We seem to get a little bit more involved in the community and extra event here and there. We just finished our storytelling festival this summer. That was very exciting. We're getting to be a kind of a regional presence.
Definitely. And I'm really glad to see the storytellers in Pittsburgh becoming a tighter and tighter community.
Oh, yeah.
In a way that you're able to do such great things.
Yeah, and a very sharing community. You know, some people are shy away a little bit because they think if they go to an event or they show up at a meeting that they're going to have to tell. But actually, we're if you bring two ears, you get in free. We're looking for listeners, if that makes sense. And of course, you know that being radio. But the one reason I was taking this opportunity to visit today is we have our silver anniversary, our 25th presentation of Telebration.
Wow.
And I think you mentioned earlier, it's a national event held on the same day, which coincidentally is today, tonight.
Oh.
So this is a great chance for me. Thank you.
I keep saying November 22nd.
That's today.
And I can't believe it's November 22nd already.
I know.
I was saying that as if it were next week.
Because I walked in, it's about 20 degrees out.
And it's going to be the 50s.
Very firm reminder.
Tomorrow. Right? I think I was at the first Pittsburgh Telebration, and I have been to quite a few of them, although lately I just have not been able to. But here is an event really designed for adults or maybe kids 10 and up or so. I'm guessing some of the stories get scary or have themes that might be a little not necessarily PG rated, I guess, is
the
best way
to put it. We like
to
say family friendly, but a lot of people confuse storytelling with children's stories, and there's some of that, but there's a pretty broad spectrum. We certainly don't go adult per se, but yes, I think you summed up our audience specifically.
When did you start?
I started telling probably about 7 or 8 years ago, Larry. And the interesting part is I found out very early on that almost everyone who comes into the community brings their own business with them, whatever interests them in storytelling, whether it's fiction or nonfiction or cultural or fairy tales or writing your own material. I call it mining my own business. I like to go back in my own personal history and kind of fictionalize events as we go.
And did you grow up around Pittsburgh? Or?
No. Actually, I'm from Buffalo, New York, and that's another story. There's a story there. I don't even have to go there. I mean, people, you say Buffalo right now, and it's white.
But, yeah, it's incredible. And you mentioned your daughter.
She's moving today, of all days.
And she's like 9.5 months pregnant.
Yeah, well, that might be in a month from now she will be. Yeah, we're going to have a happy Christmas. But yeah, I emailed her this morning and said, please be careful, you know.
Wow, that's something. And may I ask what you do for a living?
I'm actually a teacher.
Okay, so.
But this is probably my third vocation, which is another reason I like storytelling.
What do you teach?
I teach computers, and I teach a little bit of Spanish at Theo Bowman Catholic Academy right here in Wilkinsburg.
Oh, that's great. You know, we've been doing a lot of work in Wilkinsburg, and I'll share more of this with you off the air, but we just completed a project where a dozen plus Wilkinsburg teens interviewed men of Wilkinsburg to collect oral history from them and stories, and we'll be publishing that in early December and distributing it at a celebration in Wilkinsburg, and I'll let you know about the date.
I look forward to hearing about that. You know, I think in some ways, Larry, you can really view almost anything as a narrative, as a story. You ask someone how they're doing, and they're going to tell you a story. So, I mean, storytelling is just an extension of that.
Absolutely. Well, do you have a story you can share with us?
Funny you should ask. As a matter of fact, I did bring one. This time of year being Thanksgiving, of course, families and friends tend to gather together. And sure enough, as soon as you say, how you doing or what's new, out comes a story. So I brought a story that I remember that came to my mind recently. And it turns out when I was a child, every year we'd go to a certain cottage. And it was just the best part of the year, vacation, of course. And one year, I couldn't have been more than 10 years old, my mom says, you may bring a friend. Now, that was a very special thing. So I thought, a friend? There was not even a choice. I had to bring Charlie. Charlie Jiggs and I were inseparable. I mean, we played together, we took walks together, we wrestled together, we played catch together, we were inseparable. And to bring him on a vacation, that was just a special permission that never happened before. So the day came, and off we went to the cottage, and every day we went out and had fun. And by probably, second or third day, we had already been fishing, and we had played catch, and we had gone to the store, and everyone kind of knew the way things were going. And it must have been the weekend, because everyone slept in, except for Charlie. You see, Charlie had gotten up early that day. I don't know why. He went downstairs, and of course, you're not going to help yourself to food if you're a guest. So he kind of just sniffed around a little, went out on the porch. The door had been ajar, and he just sat there. Now, I have to tell you, when you have friends, something magical happens in that you kind of don't notice things because they're your friend. You wouldn't notice things that other people might immediately take note of. Some of these things are great, and some of them, maybe not, but they're your friends. That's, you don't even know. For example, Charlie. Charlie could run faster than anybody. In fact, sometimes just to test myself, I'd say, Charlie, wait here and give me a head start. I'd take off, and I thought I was just unpassable. And I'd say, okay. And then he would just, you could count to three. He'd be by me. I don't know how he did it. He was the fastest thing around. So that was one thing about him. But the thing that I guess I had forgotten was when Charlie would smile, people got nervous. Didn't bother me any. I didn't even see it anymore. But he'd smile, they'd get nervous. And, well, here's what happened. He was sitting out on the porch this particular morning, and people would walk up, I guess, just to say good morning. He must have given a little bit of a smile, you know. Boy, they took one look at him. They just crossed the street, you know. Well, since Charlie liked to run and there was nothing going on, he kind of got up off the porch and just took a little walk. And he was just kind of made to run, so he took a little jog. And he went down the street and turned the corner to the store. And, of course, it was too early. Nothing was open. So I suppose that he just kind of looked around and took a deep breath, sniffed that air, boy, and just started taking off. He would run. I wish I were there to have seen it. I'm sure he ran through the street there and passed town and got to the corner and turned and just started running. Well, you know, when you're young and you're on vacation and you're not real familiar, you can get lost pretty easily. And he was running, and I'm sure enjoying himself, because that was him at his best. And he looked up, and one side, all he saw was corn. And to the other side, more of the same. And I suppose when he stopped and looked around, he realized, oh boy, didn't know where he was. Well right then, I'm sure he got nervous, as I would have too, and started to, just let out a little, little bit of a cry there, and he just didn't know quite what to do. So he stopped and walked down the berm and circled around a little bit and sat at a tree. And right about that time, we woke up, and of course I just turned over. Hey, Charlie, let's go. And there was no Charlie. So I walked down the kid. Charlie, where? And no Charlie. So I wake up my parents, and we got in the car. My dad said, come on, we'll go find him. And we took off down the road and didn't see him. And I thought, well, we'd been here and we'd been there. We stopped at the store and didn't see him, and drove by the pond and didn't see him. And my dad started getting worried. I'd never seen that before. And my heart was just beating like this, just beating like a drum. And I said, Charlie, the window rolled down. I'm calling for him. And finally, we didn't know quite what to do. My dad actually pulled the car over. And I don't know, sometimes, you know, it just happens this way. I rolled the window down. I said, Charlie. And I thought I saw a little something. But his eyes must have opened up. And he stood up. And, you know, I didn't even think his feet touched the ground. He ran up that hill. I opened the door. He ran up the hill. And he jumped in the car, sat on my lap. He licked my face twice and barked three times. And we took him home. And from that day on, I never let Charlie out of my sight. That's Charlie Jakes.
Oh, my goodness. That's a great story.
My best friend. Yeah. Yeah, when you have a best friend like that, you got to be careful.
Yeah. And that is Mike Perry, and celebration is tonight at Church of the Ascension in Shadyside. Who are some of the tellers tonight? Will you be telling?
I will. Actually, I'll be emceeing, and I've got a little bit of a story. Our theme, our thread, if you like, is golden tales for a silver anniversary. So we have kind of a gold thread going through all our stories. So they'll all be linked by a common theme, which is always fun. And we have some of the best. We have, of course, Stosh. I don't think Stosh is telling, but he's kind of producing us this year. Stosh Yokalski. And Mary Morgan Smith, a local librarian, does a great job. Ed Lopresti. Kathy Marin Wood, another librarian. Dave Brower. Elizabeth Irvine, who's a young teller.
Yes, that's Alan's daughter. That's great.
Yeah, it is great. And we really encourage that. We're looking to create more of that. Mike Canelli, another local teller. Lisa and Alan and Kate McConnell. So we have a full lineup. It's going to be great fun. Starts at 7:30. And I like to tell everyone, you get in free. And if you bring a friend, there's no charge. Either way, you know, but we do accept donations if you find at the end of the night you have the same amount of money as you came in with.
Yeah, and this, you know, it's an evening, I think now more than ever with so much popularity in spoken word, it's not as unusual as it may seem, but, you know, instead of watching TV or, you know, listening to a podcast, you can actually see live, living, breathing, speaking people in front of you, telling stories
with no notes, strictly. And you know, that's, if I can interrupt, Larry, that the beauty of it is stories are never told the same way twice.
Mm-hmm.
And a large part of that, audiences might not realize this, but a large part of that is because of them. The interaction between the teller and the audience causes the story to come out. As we all know, just from relaying a same story, for example, at Thanksgiving, as I mentioned earlier, same story might come out differently, which offers a little bit of fun in families.
Yeah. Yeah.
You hear endings change over time.
Yeah. I don't know if I... I'll tell you something, but you'll have to promise to keep it a secret. But I've always thought that it might be fun to come up with a website. I'd probably call it My Side or My Side of the Story, and family members could tell the exact same story, and you would end up hearing these miraculously different truths. And what's interesting is we do all remember things differently. Everything I've read kind of tells me that we remember certain benchmark feet, or not benchmarks, but let's say stepping stone features of the story, and then we kind of interpolate the rest based on our best memory, and we all interpolate a little differently.
That's true.
Don't we?
Yeah, and the funny part is, if you run in, as an example, if you run into an old teacher and they remember you, you have to ask, was I the best student or the worst? Because the ones in the middle get lost. And that just nags at you.
It's funny. I just had an old teacher, former teacher, sent a note to me and told me a story about myself, and I remembered it very differently than he did.
There you go. Case in point. Case in point. Hey, if I may extend real briefly here, Monday, December 1st at the Northland Library is our next meeting, and you're certainly welcome to Google storyswap.org for more information about this evening or what we do in general. And again, this is just a group of like-minded people who love stories and love listening to stories as well as telling them and encouraging, mentoring, pretty much storytellers at any age.
Well, it's again, and that's going to be Monday.
Monday is our next meeting at the Northland Library. Tonight, Saturday, the 22nd, at the Church of the Ascension on Ellsworth. I've heard it said Oakland, and I've heard it said Squirrel Hill, I guess.
Yeah, if you're a real estate agent, it's Shady Side.
Shady Side, thank you.
And it's sort of right on the where Oakland and Shady Side meet.
I think it's right behind Oakland Catholic High School.
Yeah, it's really close.
So
really
you know
close.
Where that is, you're right behind.
So that's tonight, 7:30, free of charge. And Mike, thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And thanks for a great story.